Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys podcast. I am Sin City Steve, and as always, I'm being joined by at Vegas Trump Guy, Rob Bossolari. Rob, how the hell are you, man?
You know, this camera is a piece of crap. Like, every week, I'm either zoomed in real close or I'm, like, 5 miles away. No, I'm all right. I am all right. We preempted the show yesterday so I could do my comedy show, and I should have messaged all of the Vegas Bad Boys people to vote for me, and I would have won some dough.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Well, right, that's there. Passed. That's passed.
Yeah.
I lost by two votes. I had people spilling over in their seats, and I lost to a guy who does dad jokes, dinosaur-oriented dad jokes. So, okay.
That tells you all you need to know, man.
Hey, I am like a dinosaur. I like a pegasaurus because I want to peg your sore ass. Yeah, and I'm like, oh man. God.
And, you know, speaking of pegging sore asses.
You did a good job.
There was some pretty interesting wrestling action this week.
Was there?
Rob, by just the most remote of chances, I know that neither of us really follow this particular promotion on a consistent basis. Did you happen to catch Halloween Havoc, though?
Yeah, 10 years ago.
So, anyway, NXT Halloween Havoc, you had Ricky Saints defending his NXT championship against Trick Williams. You also had JC Jane losing her NXT Women's Championship to Tatum Paxley. Elsewhere on the show, you had Zarya losing to Mariah May, who just so happened to get her obligatory parting gift and welcome gift to WWE in that championship. She gets the Women's North American title, you know? Gotta promote those strong NXT signings. And you also had the Hardys taking the fall there, losing their NXT titles back to Dark State. So realistically, it was a pretty solid show. The women's matches actually carried the show, in my opinion. So shout outs to them. I know that I made the joke about the former Mariah May getting her obligatory free championship for her signing bonus, if you will. But she went out there and killed it. And actually, all four of the women that were in prominent positions on that show killed it. So that's good stuff.
Blake Monroe, Mariah May, has talent. Yes. She has the ability to do mic work. She is a more demure Chelsea Green.
Yeah, actually, that I could definitely see that.
She doesn't need an entourage. They might give her a lackey chick down the road if they haven't already. I am vaguely aware of what she's been doing in this promotion, and it's not been bad. And what I like is, outside of the name change, they keep their personas. It's not like we go in there and we're like, I don't know what to do with this person. Let's make them do this crazy thing that they don't. So they understand she was hot in AEW. She left on top feuding with Toni Storm, timeless Toni Storm, and it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, completely agreed, man. And, you know, it just goes to show that if Blake Monroe comes out of this entire NXT run, as standing on business with the Blake Monroe name, then we know that it was a success. And by that, I mean if she's not overshadowed by her work in AEW. I think that it's really going to be an interesting study because she did have such a meteoric rise in AEW to that women's championship in such a short amount of time, to see what she's going to be able to do in WWE and in NXT.
Would you know her more from Stardom than AEW?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I knew of her in Stardom, and you could see, but that if I were to critique her, she has been consistent with how she wants to portray herself and her character. She's been consistent.
Yeah, I that, you know, it does say something there for sure. The thing that really stands out is, you know, there was this report that came out not too long ago that WWE, they were, TKO was dismayed with the ratings and with online feedback. So we've been seeing a very rapid change right there. I just put the graphic up there. Within 10 days, there were 5 major title changes within WWE. You have Ilya Dragunov, you have Dragon Lee and AJ Styles, you have Blake Monroe, you have Tatum Paxley, and then you have Dark State. So they are definitely shuffling the deck. And I don't want to say I rip into WWE, but I am critical of WWE in the fact that a lot of times they get complacent with things. And, you know, it's very apparent at times, but I have to give them props on this. I mean, if they are genuinely going to be listening to the fans, trying to shake some things up, I mean, these types of changes are needed. So if
I'm seeing this and I'm thinking year 2000, WCW, every other month as a champion,
just press the reset button.
Right. If you're changing your titles that often, you don't look like you're proactive. You look like you're reactive. And could you have left the belt on the Hardys a lot longer? Sure. But they did what they needed to do. They right. went into TNA with the belts facing the Dudleys.
Yes.
You needed to have that. Fine.
Absolutely.
You put it on Blake Monroe. Is it premature? No, not necessarily. Dark State? I feel it wasn't as much as giving a Dark State a win as it was just getting it off the Hardys. I looked at those four guys and I went, this looks like the weakest grouping of men I have ever seen. They look like four nothings. Oh, but yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Matt would lose his fucking shit that I dissed his, you know, next crew. But yeah. I didn't, there was nothing about them that stood out. They looked like four guys wearing black ring attire. Tatum Paxley, I'm also a sucker for the persona. I don't like weak sounding names. Mariah May had a ring to it. I don't like Blake Monroe as a name as much as Mariah May. I wish she owned it. Mariah May sounds like a fucking Rod Stewart song. You know? Yeah. Oh, Mariah, I think I was really into you. You know? You went and broke my heart. You know, whatever. Blake Monroe, I don't like the name as much. They did the same thing when they got Taya Valkyrie. They made her Frankie Monet. They don't do well by the women who come in from the indies, typically. The ones who do well, the ones who own their shit going in. Asuka was always Asuka. One name, boom, came in. This is what you're getting. No?
I do have to kind of dissent with you because she did go by a different name.
Didn't she?
She went by Kana.
You're right. I apologize. I hate
to be that actually fact checker guy.
No. If we're doing this show and this has also been a point of contention this weekend because apparently there was some unwritten streak that was broken by Asuka. And she broke Goldberg. Goldberg streak for him, and he's flipping shit about it. He didn't know her name. And there was an argument on, debate with some others who went, hey, is he ungrateful for his WWE tenure? And the argument became whether or not he is aware that all of it is work.
Yeah.
And whether or not he takes his records seriously.
So realistically, that unwritten streak that you just made mention of, that was actually a 914-day undefeated streak, and the crazy thing is the 914-day streak, that trumps Goldberg's 553-day streak. So she didn't just beat it by, like, a little bit. She beat it by a year.
Now, here's the thing. She has lost, and she just came back off injury.
Yeah.
What in the fuck are they referring to? Why is this coming up now?
Honestly, the only thing that I can figure is they have to be trying to get any kind of marketable milestones that they can do. So, you know, if they hype that up that, you know, she had this, you know, almost 1,000-day undefeated streak from when she first debuted until she actually lost for the first time. I mean, that's just TKO marketing in its finest right there.
I'm thinking now the issue I have with wrestling, I don't want to get too lost on this subject, but the issue with wrestling now is how much of it ends up on social media and how much of the social media counts towards the final product and counts towards the kayfabe. Because, for example, they're taking the Bayley storyline and the Bayley Lyra Valkyria tag team, and then using that to catapult the storyline that they're having with Charlotte Flair and blanking out right now, damn it, and Alexa Bliss.
Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss.
And I'm going, so now I have to go tune into your page? And I've said this before, because when it came to Asuka explaining why she's behaving the way she is, she did explain that in social media, and that didn't end up in the final cut on TV. So, because that was actually a really reasoned response. It made sense. Yeah. This was more, are we making Bayley crazy? Or is she bipolar? Because on Monday night, she wasn't. She was kind of flat.
I really wish they would go with that bipolar type of an angle, man. That hasn't been done in recent memory, if at all. And, you know, if they would do like a bipolarism or like a split personality, obviously that was done with the whole Mick Foley thing. But really, I think Bayley has the ability to take any type of a storyline like that and really carve out a solid niche for herself. And
what I was hoping was she comes out to a city, her and Lyra lose. She slaps the crap out of Lyra and goes, you stupid idiot, which she says often, you stupid idiot, we lost because of you, slaps the crap out of her, walks out the following week and goes full heel, comes out in a blazer, goes, ding dong, who's here? And then 2 weeks later, babyface again. And they started doing that and then they pulled the plug on that. And now you have this, she's aggressive in the ring, Bayley, but it's not connecting. It's really not connecting. And what it's making is Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss don't have to do as much work now because they're being reactionary to everybody around them. So they're getting boring real fast.
I totally get that, man. And, you know, I hate to say it, but speaking of boring real fast, let's talk about Raw. Oh, my God.
Oh, leave that up. Leave.
Yeah, I'm going to. Don't you worry.
Oh, my God. All right. So we got.
Let it rip, bro. Let it rip.
All right. Roxanne Perez. I don't care. She's too much of a cutie baby face, and she's not being a heel. She just exists.
Yeah.
She is a very, very weak replacement for Liv Morgan. Her in-ring ability is not the question. Is it her personality is not matching up with what she's supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
That looks like Nikki Bella with her.
That is correct. Yeah, they
Christ, is that fucking picture photoshopped to bejesus?
Oh god, dude, filters aplenty.
That does not look like her. That literally looks like Tiffany Stratton with black hair.
Yeah.
So terrible. I don't care that she's back, and I'm going to be ageist or sexist or chauvinist, whatever. She looks like she's cosplaying a female wrestler.
Yeah.
She's not physically bad, but she looks out of place with this lineup. And Raquel Rodriguez looks like she could give two shits to be there. Her acting, her performance, her interest in what she is doing is lacking. They're just going through the motions with these two. If they were never in Judgment Day, they would be doing nothing else, and it would not matter. There's no vehicle for Raquel Rodriguez.
I totally get that. I do have to say, though, I mean, realistically speaking, Roxanne Perez did get the pinfall victory with her own finish, mind you, on Nikki Bella. So let's be honest about this. Could we say this is probably the biggest win in Roxanne Perez's young career?
No. And I'll tell you why. Because you're looking at somebody who would objectively be considered a talent from a decade earlier with Ring Rust. There's no reason for her to just jump right back into when Trish Stratus comes out and just freaking clothes that she got at the last second when she came back. Now, not counting her last match with Tiffany Stratton, where she came in her OG ring gear and full bodysuit because she was taped up beyond compare.
Yeah.
But this looks like we just need somebody to eat a fall, and we don't want a current talent to eat the pin. So let's grab somebody who is already over with the fans, or this is the twilight of her career. We put another, we put another gallon of gas in the tank so that it doesn't look so bad for anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't care about this win. This win holds no value. Bella is going to get a run of a couple more months, and she will gone.
I'll tell you, man, I don't know if you saw this or not, but yeah, this match, you mentioned the ring rust from Nikki Bella. She definitely looked rusty, and she looked pretty fucking stiff at times too. Like, there was at least one spot that I can picture in my mind right now where Nikki Bella kicked the shit out of Roxanne Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it wasn't pulled. It was a fucking straight up kick. So yeah, thankfully everybody got out of the match okay. No one was hurt. Nothing was serious.
The ring attire that she's got, yeah. The look, the everything. She's got the same gear that you would see Carmella wear back in the day. She's locked in time.
Yep.
It looks like a time capsule from 10 years ago.
I was about ready to say that mid 2010s.
Yeah. Right. And. Yep. So you got a victory over her, but there's no emotional attachment from the audience, from us, to this match going, wow, what does she get out of this? Not much. There's nothing there's nothing for Nikki Bella. This was a filler match. Yeah. Let's go on to the next one.
Yep. And then elsewhere, there was the number one contenders match, which of course ended up in a no fucking contest.
Mm-hmm.
So that they could make it into a three-way at Saturday night's main event.
So here's where I see this going. If I'm writing this, I have El Grande Americano and the Americano brothers, whose names I forget, Rayo or whatever the fuck. I it's terrible names. I see them giving them the win to Dominic. And then as Dominic is celebrating in the ring by himself, no Judgment Day because they're pissed at him, El Grande Americano clotheslines him. And goes, all right, now it's time to pay up. Now I get the belt. Okay. There, I'm going to get the Triple A championship and a campeón Triple A, and I'm going to take your Intercontinental belt. And then he's going to go running to Judgment Day. Judgment Day is going to kick his ass to the curb. And that's the end of Dom. Then Dom has to go babyface turn.
Realistically, I like that whole setup. I think that one thing to keep in mind is that if you do set up the AAA Mega Championship match between Dom and El Grande Americano, do you go ahead and pull the trigger on putting that AAA Championship on El Grande and have him and actually have all three of them work down in AAA for at least a little bit? And kind of, I don't want to say run the show down there, but I mean, be a figureheads and occasionally make appearances on Raw.
And then what happens is you unmask El Grande Americano, and then Cole can go, wow, the Germans really did escape to Argentina.
Well fucking played, my friend. Well fucking yeah, played. If you know, you know. That's a deep cut. Anyway, moving on. You mentioned the women's tag team champions, Charlotte and Alexa. They had a match in the main event, which is not on the match card, but it was Charlotte and Alexa versus Bayley and Lyra. And the only thing that people will remember about this match is the wardrobe malfunction that Alexa Bliss had. And no, it wasn't that kind of a wardrobe malfunction. Lyra's hair actually got tangled up in Alexa's ring gear. And so there was this really fucking awkward sequence in the match where Alexa actually has to take off one of her two tops because Lyra's hair is like intertwined in one of her like ring jackets. It was
now this
funky
is
as
where,
shit.
This is why you don't play video games while watching Raw, because you miss these things. And sometimes they don't commentate. They got to go back.
Of course. And they panned away as quickly as you could imagine.
Yeah,
I
missed that at first. So, unlike that Nia Jax botch. By the way, how awkward was that when she came back on Friday as if nothing had happened? They put the camera on her. It's getting to the point where she's not getting boos anymore. It's just getting silent.
And that's the worst part. She's not drawing a reaction. You know, if she was getting boos, then that's one thing. But if the crowd is silent for her, that's completely another. And actually, you mentioned SmackDown. Anything more about Raw? Or do you want to move on?
Well, we got to go with the Yeet guy. Here's the thing. Jimmy Uso. What is he? He's trying to be a heel. He's lifting up, kissing babies and yeeting with babies. The crowd's not getting behind him as a heel. They're still chanting for him. CM Punk, CM Punk reminds me of like Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man. He's cool, but he's getting old. You know, here's my thing with CM Punk. I would like to see him grow out his hair longer, shave his beard, not look like he's 100. I'm getting tired of the idea that everything's owed to him. You get this feeling like I was like, oh, wait, why isn't he in this gauntlet match? Oh, because he's sitting ringside because he's already got a guaranteed spot. Yeah. And his attitude is I deserve it.
Yep.
And I'm getting bored. Here's the thing. They did it in AEW. They passed him the mic a lot. You'll get a decent mic out of him. But you can't go to that well all the time. There has to be something. You cannot give him a 5-minute promo to cut if he is the babyface on the upswing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's crazy as well, Rob, is that the video of Jey Uso winning that gauntlet match actually has more dislikes than it does likes on YouTube, to the tune of about 4-1.
And that's the thing, because you have to be consistent. So, and I might have said Jimmy before when I meant to say Jey. Jey Uso is in and Bayley are in limbo. Yep. They don't know which way they want to pop them. If Bayley, like I said before, goes crazy every other week, fine. You can sell that she could do it. The problem is Jey Uso has no fucking mic skills. And he has done this weird thing. I don't know if it's a nervous tick. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to make a joke or be disparaging. But he'll always kind of And he'll do this thing with his jaw and his teeth. He'll start flexing. And he doesn't say anything. He does reactions to what people say to him, but he has no ability to respond. And the other thing is now, where is the Vision while this is going on? The Vision are getting shuffled down the row already. The Vision is mid-card level.
Yeah, man.
Already the Vision is mid-card level. You cannot have a heel Jey Uso to the left of the Vision. Yeah. Meaning, you cannot have a weaker heel in Jey Uso than you would at a Bron Breakker. He should be disrupting every match, regardless of what is given to him. The idea that Paul Heyman is trying to talk him down, where ridiculous. He should be the next big thing, next Brock Lesnar. He should frame himself as the next Brock Lesnar. They did not pull the trigger with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. They teased it. They let it cool down way too much now, okay? Yes, I wanted my steak medium rare, but I didn't want it a half an hour later. You know, that's what they did with Lesnar. So now you've got Bron Breakker, and you're letting him cool off, and you're letting him have doubt? I don't understand, Paul. What happened? We're supposed to take everything. Oh, you have to wait now. Really, Mr. Yoda? Why would you wait now? The whole idea was Seth Rollins took, and he took from Seth Rollins. He should be in a triple threat match scenario. Win the whole damn thing, because Punk is about to chase. Babyface Punk is useless.
Yeah.
Uso should be a tag team guy. Sorry. Yeah. They should. Yeah. The Usos should hold the belt. Figured out why Jimmy Uso is wearing the tank top, because when they had him all taped up, his gut was spilling over his pants.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Whatever he needs to do to lose that, or he doesn't want to, fine. But he's tag level. Make them a tag team again. You cannot have the belt on a guy with not a manager and without the ability to speak on his own. And who's not clear whether or not he's a face or a heel. And he's dancing around each week, straddling the line. And no Roman Reigns? And Roman Reigns doesn't even want to interact with them. So you've already planted that seed that there is no bloodline anymore. Why even bring up the bloodline? I'm annoyed that they even reference the bloodline. It's my family tree now. They separated. They're all dressed up like dead presidents. Tama Tonga looks like he gained 25 pounds. If you look, he's not as cut. And that's fine. But they're also not NWO. They're not taking over anything.
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, speaking of SmackDown, let's talk about it. So obviously on the graphic, we've got Cody and Drew. We've got... some pretty interesting stuff going on here. You mentioned MFT. You've got quite a bit of stuff going on there. You got Ilya. Let it rip, man. What kinds of things you want to talk about from SmackDown?
I do have one
thing I want to say after you're done. Hopefully you'll hit on it, but in case you don't, I got a sneaking suspicion, Rob, because of who is concerning that you're going to bring it up. But in case you don't, I got you back. Okay. Let it rip.
I know they did a walking promo thing, so people are wondering, is it going to be Jericho? Who is it going to be? There's feet behind it. I don't know what that's all about.
Oh, actually, you know what? Speaking of that, did you want to see the full thing? Because
yes.
They dropped the full thing on their social media today.
Lay it.
All right.
They say in Vegas, everyone's got to tell. A blink. A breath. A moment that can't be controlled. But the great ones, they use it to their advantage. They own it. They've got them right where they want them. The rest just haven't figured it out yet. WrestleMania Vegas. It's anyone's game.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is anyone's game. So, yes, it is. It's a promo ad for Mania. It is not for a new faction or anyone debuting or any of that. I did find it interesting that they had a big Brock Lesnar in there. So he's clearly going to factor in extremely prominently in the Mania plan.
And Paul Heyman looking on with Triple H. All right, whatever. Yeah.
And we're going to get back in the saddle again, I guess, is a theme for Mania.
Yeah. I'm back in my dead again. I'm back. Credit cards going too high. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beer prices are jumping the sky. I'm back in dead again.
Pretty much,
back.
Bro. Pretty much, man.
That's where Matt Michaels is. Right now he's on the corner of Valley View and Tropicana with DJ sucking dick to pay for those WrestleMania tickets. We're gonna make a fuzzy slipper song for the both of them because they're gonna be sitting in the freaking Modelo lounge with fucking donuts, you know. They're gonna have sore asses.
Oh man.
All right.
Let's get back to SmackDown.
MFT. First of all, I hate the name. Family Tree. It's the laziest goddamn name. If they would have said, we're the new bloodline, I would have thought that would have been a more appropriate name than what they came up with. Because they are not Samoans. Only him.
Yeah.
They're Tongans. They're not your blood at all.
Honestly, The acronym should not stand for My Family Tree. It should stand for motherfucking Tongans. Because that's what it is. It's unreal.
It's the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yep.
Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, Hikaleo.
Yep.
Which Tala Tonga works. I get it. Tall Tonga. Whatever. Fine.
Yep.
And then Jeff Cobb. What was Jeff Cobb? Is he Samoan or Tongan?
I am not sure offhand.
But having him eat pins, sure.
Dude.
And having him I mean.
So actually, according to the internets and Grok specifically, Jeff Cobb is not Samoan or Tongan. He is Filipino American, born in Hawaii to Filipino immigrants and raised in Guam. So there we are.
All right, so he's nothing but all right. Now you've got one of your best Japanese wrestlers, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yep.
Essentially jobbing.
Dude.
He's a placemat.
I'll tell you though, if the rumors that I heard about what Nakamura is being considered for are true and they actually do come to fruition, there has the potential to be some legendary shit.
All right. What are we talking? What are we talking?
So Nakamura, as many people know, was the final opponent of the great Muta, TJ Muto. Okay. He is TKO and New Japan Pro Wrestling are actually in negotiations to have Hiroshi Tanahashi's final match against Shinsuke Nakamura.
Woo-hoo.
The only thing is there might be some sort of backlash because obviously New Japan they've got this working relationship with AEW. So that might be the only sticking point. But if Nakamura gets to be Muda's final opponent and Tanahashi's final opponent, fucking awesome.
Wouldn't you want it to be Kazuchika Okada?
We'll talk about it later, but I think Okada has someone else on his dance card for January 4th.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. I'd have to get my notes. I don't even remember who won that match. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, it was a filler match.
Of course.
It had nothing to do with anything. It did not elevate or move the storyline of My Family Tree over. They ran their mouth about taking over the division and taking over SmackDown. They made no aggressive moves on any of their matches. They are not running roughshod. And by the way, if you notice, that only happens on Raw. When it comes to anything with Nick Aldis, it's pretty quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I have to say this. I mean, they're, you know, the MFT's opponents were Rey Fénix and Shinsuke Nakamura. Come on, dude. Like, as if either of those two guys are going to be winning a match in 2025. No. MFT's got the win. Fénix and Nakamura definitely picked up the loss.
Here's the thing. I say that because, as in all things, life, I'll take my notes. That match was so forgettable, I just glossed over it. And that's my point. I'm glossing over matches like that because they're not doing anything. You've got Tama Tonga running through the halls going, okay. The first time.
Wait, how was that, sir? All right, just checking. Thanks.
And here's my thing. The first time out, okay, it's a little weird. Now you're just a little strange, a little aggressive, I guess. Now you're just a weirdo. His physique, he does not look like he's as toned as he was when he first came over. He doesn't look scary. He looks like just an odd son of a bitch you'd want to avoid. He looks like he's off his meds, but not threatening. And it's a four-on-one situation with Tama Tonga interfering in the match as it progressed and tying up. I do remember him tying up a few times Rey Fénix. This does nothing for Rey Fénix. It does nothing for Shinsuke Nakamura. Nope. And people are starting to call it. Wait a minute. These are the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
They're the Lucha Brothers. They're one of the most successful tag teams. They're a generational talent. Yep. What the fuck do you have them running singles matches for? They both look out of their element. You've got Penta El Cerro Miedo Pentagon Jr. cutting a billion English promos now. Poorly. Yeah. Okay? They threw him into a cricket commercial. Oh, my Pentagon Jr. Look. Get them on tag team shit. Put them on SmackDown where there's a billion tag teams. Not on Raw. Put them on SmackDown where they clean house with everything. Then you take the Solo Cup tag teams of the Street Profits, and you put them on Raw where there aren't a lot of tag teams and they can shine on Raw. They could go further on Raw where people will be paying attention to them. And you got to, unfortunately, start them back off where they began, where they're just talking about the matches, doing commentary. And then they walk out and they go, hey, by the way, we're up next. You got to get them happy-go-lucky again. And none of this weird retro them. Make them happy-go-lucky. Have them win matches. Ilya Dragunov. Yay! Yep. Happy! Yay!
Hey, man. Hey, he and Aleister Black had the best match on SmackDown, though. Absolutely, man. I do find it interesting, though, that... you know, if you look at it, Brody King is a tag team champion putting on 5-star matches with Bandido in AEW, and Aleister Black is losing in open challenges in a mid-card title and has already lost more singles matches since he's come back to WWE than his entire AEW run.
And now they put Zelina Vega with them and they dress her up like Morticia Adams. What the fuck is that?
No,
looks ridiculous. They're trying to do. You remember when they had a tag team with a really hunky guy, meaty guy, and his super fucking amazing hot wife, and he could fuck with people, and she was wearing claws, and she looked hot, and he looked hot, and they could sell, and they could talk, and they could cut promos, and they could sell, and they could talk, they could cut promos, and he could wrestle in the ring, and he was fucking amazing. And then they moved him up to the main roster, and they put a fucking Centurion outfit on him, and then they fired him, and then they put him back, and he was amazing, and now... So you got rid of Karrion Kross and Scarlett.
Yep.
And then replaced them with Timu, Karrion Kross, and Scarlett with Aleister Black, whose hairline looks worse than mine.
Yep.
My hat does not need to come off right now. And you took an amazing Scarlett fucking Bordeaux, Scarlett, and who was working with him as a tag team. Yes. Let's break the fourth walls of kayfabe. Yes, Zelina Vega is married to Aleister Black, but they don't look like they have chemistry in the ring. She has been representing and valeting for Mexican talent because of the language gap, and she did a good job. Remember when she was Andrade's manager originally, is how we saw her in my recollection. Andrade Cien Almas, and it was good, great. She's a good mouthpiece. I'm not making a pun. I know my would be all over that there, but Rob, she's Aleister's mouthpiece now. It doesn't make sense with the white streak of hair. It looks like they literally went to fucking, you know, Halloween City or whatever that fucking store is called. Spirit Halloween. That's right. It's embarrassing. She looks out of place, and they're doing the same gimmick with the black and white that they were doing for Karrion Kross and Scarlett.
Yeah.
You fucking hacks. Okay?
Exactly.
Hacks. You fired.
I was so hoping that you were going to go that route. I was hoping that you were going to mention that shit. Because you
fired good people with a good gimmick to replace them with shitty people with that gimmick who can't produce on it. Aleister Black's job is to be a psycho in the ring, break fingers, be dark, but not be, you know, fucking Spencer Gifts Halloween dark, not Hot Topic Halloween dark, not a clip-on of white hair dark. Remember when he took Rey Mysterio and gouged out his eye in the corner of the fucking ring? And Rey Mysterio, for a while, had a patch over his eye because Aleister Black grabbed his skull and drove it slowly into a corner of a steel fucking ramp. Okay? Yeah. The steel steps. That was dark. That was morbid. He got to AEW. This is worse than AEW.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you're dragging Selena and Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega, even when she had that United States belt, was begging for matches. When she had that belt, she was doing backstage promos begging for people to fight. That was Seth Rollins who did it? No, it was that Seth Rollins? I thought that was okay. I apologize. I am fucking up today.
Bionic Scoop with the clarification. That was early Thunder.
Oh, well, so that was
Seth Rollins.
He got his eye poked out too, Aleister Black, which is why he did the contact lens. Eye match. You are correct. But this is bad. This is insulting. It's insulting to Karrion Kross. It's insulting to Scarlett. They could have done a far better job on SmackDown doing this type of story. It would have been a lot more sellable. He has mic skills.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, the other match that we didn't talk about up there was Tiffany Stratton and Kiana James.
Cool.
And, yeah, pretty much. But realistically, the most notable part of this happened after the match as Rob, your girl, lays out Tiffy time.
Oh, my Lord.
And, so obviously we can see where this is going. We're going to be getting Jade Cargill versus Tiffany Stratton. So how do you feel about that one?
The longer Tiffany has the belt, the weaker she looks. Her mic skills have...
Cross got over on his own. Big no-no, says Bionic Scoop.
Yeah.
I could not agree more.
Yep, yep.
You could not agree more. Look at what happened with LA Knight.
LA Knight, no. What do you mean I can't be the champion? Yeah. I got the Kavorka. And I. What do you mean? But I'm good. Yeah, we don't care. And that's a problem because by the time WWE will pull the trigger on these people, it will be too late. I will have lost interest.
Yep.
Wrestling is about the ability to cut those promos and connect with the crowd. Yep. Once you have done that within a reasonable amount of time, you have to pull the trigger. He has the in-ring ability and the mic skills. You waited. Karrion Kross, completely wasted.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
You had two opportunities. The Sami Zayn one, where she throws him the bat and goes, yo, go to town on my husband.
Yeah.
Amazing angle. Yep. You let that rot on the vine, you assholes. And then going after AJ Styles.
Yes.
Another opportunity. This is the end of AJ Styles. What an amazing tie-in when the guy saying this is the end of my career and I don't want to pull the trigger to have this guy come in there and go, hey, you're wasting your last year. I'm going to make you relevant. Great.
Yeah. But unfortunately, that was not meant to be, man.
Oh, but you carried him up with Ellering, who doesn't talk. How do you have a manager? You're going to – Paul Ellering doesn't talk. Authors of Pain? What do they have to do with him? He didn't need them. Yeah. He didn't it's need crazy. Them. All right. Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill went into the makeup chair and they painted a red scar across her eye. I'm assuming then that they glued her eye. They're going to glue that wound shut because stitches leave those little pinholes. You cannot have scars like that. And I don't know if they have time for plastic surgery. So... they are going to do their best to bank on that. Now, she looks good.
Absolutely.
But her mic skills have never been superb. And right now in wrestling, I'm really straining to find any woman that has good mic skills right now, except for maybe Bayley. Bayley has an interesting gimmick, and they're putting ice on it.
Obviously, we're talking WWE, right?
Yeah, okay. Bayley and Asuka is on another zone, but Asuka's not fighting for anything. Asuka's just being Asuka, which is kind of odd in its own right. And on Monday there was no Io Sky, so there's, or am I mistaken? I don't remember her being on the card.
Couldn't tell you, man. Could not tell you.
Yeah.
But, that's my problem. So that actually could be because she's in Japan right now. So,
that's fine. But you've got people who are hot and they're being misutilized.
I completely agree.
Now, if Asuka's in a situation by which she is really trying to nurse herself and not fight at the same schedule she used to, fair enough. But with Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill, the fact that half their promos are being cut behind the stage, behind the ring, is not good. There's no pipe bombs coming out of these people. AJ Lee's comeback for that one match, and the hype up to that was better than what's coming out of the mouth of these people. And if Jade Cargill's just going to go, I'm that bitch.
No.
When I hear I'm that bitch back in the day, I used to hear, believe that. Remember when Roman Reigns thought he was black? And used to go, yo, believe that. That's what. So she needs a Paul Heyman type. She really does.
She definitely needs a mouthpiece.
Is she good in the ring? She's B plus right now.
She's okay. I mean, she's better than what she was.
She's not a botch artist. She's sloppy. She's not a botch artist. She's sloppy. Nia Jax, fuck you. You are donezo. And then on top of it, you know, I did a comedy show the other day and I said, oh my God, I don't even like hanging around with people after the show. I want to get my car and go home. And one of my buddies in my comedy group said, dude, that's not a good look. I'm even breaking the fourth wall right now saying that. But when you go on social media and you're doing, you know, TikTok viral dances, and then you're trying to be a super cunty character, which is what your character is, they don't mesh. You look out of place.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just awkward. You're awkward as a heel. You were awkward as a baby face. They had to make Alexa Bliss call you a big fat pig for them to get people to like you. And I'm not trying, again, it's going to be, oh, Rob is saying she's a, no, remember, that's what Alexa Bliss said to Nia Jax back then. I'm paraphrasing, to get Nia Jax over as a babyface. She had a month title reign about 7 years ago, and it was forgettable. They gave her a big tour, a big media tour. They pushed her to the moon, and it went nowhere. She needs to stay gone. Or WrestleMen.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, realistically, I think that more than anything, they need to spice things up. They need to do something to make her stand out, because as of right now, yes, she's got a great look. Yes, she's okay in the ring, but there's not anything that's really a hook with her. And they need to find that hook.
Or dare I say, bounce her ass down to TNA for a while. They'll take her. Mm-hmm. Let her figure out what the hell she needs to figure out outside of the land of WWE. When she comes on, it's like it sucks the wind out of the room every time.
You know, speaking of the land outside of WWE, we do have another major promotion that we like to talk about on this show, being AEW. And, dude, I don't know if you happen to check out Dynamite, but there was some solid action on this show. The Okada Bandido match was fucking fantastic, man. I don't agree necessarily with the outcome or anything of having Bandido take a fall, but outside of that, it was pretty solid. And we did get the women's tag team championship brackets. So we're gonna have Queen Amanada, Jamie Hayter versus the Sisters of Sin. You've got Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron against Mercedes Moné and Athena. You've got Alex Windsor and Riho taking on Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa. And you've got Megan Bain and Penelope Ford taking on Ty J. So, it should be interesting. Obviously, if you're doing bracketology with this, it's obvious that this tournament is going to come down to Mercedes Moné and Athena versus Toni and Mina.
Yeah. What else can you do?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I would love to use this tournament as a way to get over one of those other teams. But, you know, I mean, you could have Ty J, but I don't see any other real legitimate contenders for that championship.
Well, keep that up. Obviously not Rinzer and Riho, but Bane and Ford is a possibility in Sisters of Sin.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing to keep in mind is that, Queen Amanada and Jamie Hayter won a four-way this week on Dynamite, and they were able to choose their first-round opponents. So of all of the teams in the field, they chose to wrestle the Sisters of Sin, and following professional wrestling tropes and booking, it's pretty obvious that they're going to lose in the first round to Julia Hart and Sky Blue.
But you could tell the tag teams that are just slapped together.
Completely.
Yeah, I mean, Aminata and Hayter slapped together. Willow and Harley slapped together. Bane and Ford is slapped together, but Bane is a brick shit house.
Well, they've also been together for a while. They do have matching gear. They've got stuff that they've been doing. So
yeah,
I wouldn't say that they're slapped together, but I don't see them having a chance in this tournament.
Okay, Mercedes Moné, and she's got 12 belts.
Oh.
And she went through the cake. She went through the cake, and how dare you, Harley Cameron? Oh wait, it's Chris Statlander. There's a big what's gonna happen? There's a cake in the middle of a ring.
Yeah, imagine that.
And the cake was extra colorful, and she doesn't even want to carry her belts anymore. She's got a bunch of little twinks carrying her belts. You know, all of those guys are like, local jobber wrestlers from some local promotion.
Absolutely, they are. Absolutely. Indie talents getting some FaceTime on worldwide TV. You got to love it.
Yeah. And they'll show you a video of them. If it's WWE, they'll be like, remember when he was holding Mercedes Benet's belt 7 years ago? What a change time made. And they did that with Cesaro back then. And then back then, though, he had hair. So it was kind of like, I'd be pissed if you showed me some video of me when I had hair.
Right.
And I was playing a character of like a lawyer. Like Chelsea Green was a psychologist who apparently had an affair with like Daniel Bryan. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Don't. Anyways. She's not going to get the belt.
No,
she's not going to
get it. She's not, dude. We can only hope that Mercedes does not win at Full Gear. If she does beat Statlander at Full Gear, there's a fucking problem. There's a real fucking problem. And what I genuinely hope is that she actually, and I mentioned it on the show, hopefully she loses again. And then that starts her down this downward spiral. And then she loses all 12 of the belts.
And then you go babyface. You reconnect with the crowd. You win the one belt. And now she'll go, hey, I'm one belt Benet, and that's fine. This one belt represents all of you and your support and my growth and my comeback and blah, 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 blah.
Yep. And, I do have to give it to AEW. Usually Collision, they treat it like a punt, man. Usually they don't do anything with it. They don't further storylines. But this week they did further storylines. You had the 8-man tag for $400,000 in finger quotes. That was a fun match. That was good. You had a solid match with Pac and Ishii. Tekla and Mina had a good match. There was some clunkiness. But realistically, these ladies worked together in Stardom in Japan. And, they beat the shit out of each other there. They did the same thing here. And also, Brian Keith and Ace Austin. Austin picks up his first win in AEW, beating Brian Keith, as he should. Ace Austin looked like $1 million in this match too. So they definitely made him look great. And then lastly in that collision, in the bottom right hand corner, you see the NXN TV casting call. Okay. Now here's the thing. Yep, I see you over there yawning, but so I gotta give it to him. The person who answered this open challenge casting call to get their free win was none other than Olympia from CMLL. And dude, she is freaking yoked. Like, she is yoked. And it was also announced that in a week that she will be wrestling Mercedes Moné for the CMLL Women's World Championship on Collision. But we actually built to matches for Dynamite on Collision. How long have you been saying that's something that we need to do? So this week on Dynamite, we've got four ways seem to be the theme of Fright Night Dynamite. And so you've got Lashley, Ricochet, Samoa Joe, and Hook in a four-way to determine the number one contender for Hangman Page's World Championship at Full Gear. You've got FTR, the Young Bucks, Jet Speed, and Jurassic Express in a four-way to determine the number one contender for Brodito's World Tag Team Championships. And then you do have the aforementioned Queen Aminata, Jamie Hayter versus Sisters of Sin, opening round match in the women's tag title tournament. Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way right now. All right, so over under this week is going to be very simple, and it's going to be different than what we usually mention. This is the only issue that I have to have with AEW and their booking. So they had Samoa Joe turn heel and all of the ops turn heel after Hangman Page picked up the win over Samoa Joe at WrestleDream. Okay, so they already built it up that Joe was going to be wrestling Hangman Page at Full Gear. So without a doubt, the odds on favorite, the number one contender for the men's world championship is going to be Samoa Joe. If there's a DraftKings profile that you can jump on, yeah, take that bet all fucking day long. Throw all of it on there. Not financial advice, of course, but what else do you expect me to say when you do the angle for the upcoming match
before the match?
The number one contenders match to get to that match. So, And one other interesting news note, it has now been officially longer time that Jon Moxley has been with AEW than his entire time with WWE. Surpassing 2,529 days with AEW compared to 2,528 with WWE. So,
and he actually looks scary as shit in AEW. Dude, looks like a monster.
Comparatively, yes. Comparatively speaking, yeah, he doesn't look goofy. He actually looks like a threat.
So, yeah.
And, speaking of all of this stuff, and speaking of people who, you know, they might have an issue with how they may look or how much of a badass they are or what they choose to say, I think it's time.
You don't get the luxury of the suit and the tie today. We don't have the time for that. It's bedtime. It is 11 o'clock. No, excuse me, 1 a.m. almost. And we are getting our asses kicked by Little Canada. Little Canada right now is kicking the shit out of California. Gee, why am I not surprised that the Toronto Blue Jays, okay? Not as good as the American Red Jays, by the way. The Toronto Blue Jays are kicking the crap out of these California liberal teams. They used to be a good team. They used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers. And now they're losing to a Canadian team. So sad. So very sad. We're not going to give them. If that happens, we're going to have to look into, can we just expel them from Major League Baseball? They're part of the American. How is First of all, think about it. How are the Blue Jays part of the American League? Think about it. Doesn't make any sense. Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, I mean, North America.
No. First of all, don't talk with your president's joking. Okay. You know better. Not like the bald one who is begging to be deported to Switzerland. How's his car doing?
I don't know.
We've got these people wrestling. They're boring the fucking shit out of me right now. They don't know what the fuck they're doing over at WWE. They gave the Norwegian guy and his Puerto Rican wife. Okay. And I say, like they said, Puerto Rican. She's Puerto Rican. She's not a good Rican. She's a Puerto Rican. And she's not doing him any favors. They had this hot woman on there named Scarlett. She used to be a hot blonde. They used to call the smoke show. Remember that TNA, the smoke show?
Yeah.
And she was wrestling these Indian wrestlers. She was doing a spectacular, tremendous job. And now she's in the Indies, and they've got the Puerto Rican with the Norwegian guy. He looks like the bass player from Ghost. And it's so sad. so very sad. They bring him out there. He's got the cool theme song, and then he's got the contact lens, and his hair's falling out. Okay, you know, it looks like his hair's scared because his hairline, it's retreating further the Canada's government and their budget. Believe it. And these people are terrible. They're very boring, not excited. They're low energy. Okay, it's low energy Alistair. That's what we're gonna call them. Low energy Alistair. All right. Oh, hold on. My mattress broken up by another Puerto Rican. They got Damian Priest, okay? Damian Priest, what kind of Puerto Rican guy dresses up in goth clothes, okay? Okay, just because you're the manager of a Hot Topic doesn't mean you have to walk around dressed like that. He still has the same entrance music from the Judgment Day. He's got no gimmick. He talks like he came out of the South Bronx. Where'd they find this guy? His greatest claim to fame is he dropped 100 pounds. Great. Well, yeah, I drop 100 pounds too if I get rid of Liv Morgan.
Jeez.
Okay. Wow. So that's sad what's going on. And then you have. Yeah. You're not going to preempt me for fuzzy slippers.
Yeah. No fuzzy slippers tonight, my friend.
Oh, thank God.
No fuzzy slippers tonight.
On another track. On the me.
I can press play right now if you want.
No.
All right. So, in any event, let's. All right. So. Yeah, let's dive into some social media, and you got the New York Knicks giving a shout out to Kazuchika Okada. Bitch, go Knicks. And that was actually a phrase that was uttered by Kazuchika Okada even during the Being the Elite episode that aired this week. So gotta love the tie-ins and those those NBA promotions, NBA franchises, I should say, doing some cross promotion action. Speaking of cross promotion, though, say whatever you will about Mercedes Moné, she's a draw. So the latest CMLL show that ran at Arena Mexico on the 17th of this month. Was actually the highest attended all women's show in 8 years, surpassing WWE Evolution. And the maximum capacity at Arena Mexico is 16,500, and they sold it out. So you got to figure 16,500 fans in attendance. So props to them, man. CMLL is drawing better attendance this year than they have in a vast majority of years in the past. So,
well, we need to follow that and analyze what is the success, because obviously it's not just AEW talent. So what are they doing right that AEW needs to learn from? And I'm sure, amen, Matt. And also, I would love to hear Travis's take on that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd be a fan of hearing that. And speaking of hearing some things, Let's just cue up a few of these quick hitters here. So Swerve Strickland, AEW, is hopeful for a winter return from his knee surgery, which is dope. Let's get Swerve back in the picture as soon as possible.
He's going to have one of those Stone Cold braces then.
Yep. I'm sure he will. And Chris Jericho, whose AEW contract has expired, imagine this, multiple companies on a national and global level have interest in him.
Huh. Duh.
Shocking.
Carnival Cruise Lines.
Yeah, no. The seventh Jericho cruise is actually, rooms are available. And the interesting thing is there is not a single AEW contracted talent on the boat. You've got Chelsea Green, who just signed a new 5-year deal with WWE. Mm. So she's sticking around. She ain't going nowhere, which is great news for everybody. God, man, she's bad. Speaking of somebody that might be getting a different employer, Steve Macklin's contract actually expires at the end of the year. So Steve Macklin, current champion in TNA, holding that international championship.
He needs to stay with the company. He's not going to get the push. And don't go to AEW either.
No.
He'll be in the Don Callis family as soon as you can blink.
I completely agree. He's doing great things and, quite frankly, is doing the best work of his career in TNA. And that is a natural fit for him. But this was interesting. Drew McIntyre revealed to No Contest Wrestling that he was ready to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2017. The quote, in 2017, when I returned to WWE, I was ready to go to New Japan at that point. That's where my head was at. I spoke to the right people to start having the serious conversations. And Regal told me, you've got to talk to him first. Talk to Hunter first. Go talk to Paul first. And it was 1 minute into the conversation. I knew it was time to come back. So, yeah, I honestly, Drew McIntyre, he belongs in WWE.
Excuse me, Drew Galloway.
Yes,
Drew Galloway. As it would have been had he gone to NJPW.
Yeah. Elsewhere, speaking of people who have different employments, there you go. Marco Stunt is now a car salesman at a Ford dealership in Mississippi. Hey, man.
Oh, no.
Let him get you into a car, baby.
No, I just, I don't want that for him. Fuck.
Yeah.
You have to understand something. As an entertainer, when you see, you know, it's almost like the best way to describe it, it's like the girl of your dreams, and then you find out she has kids. And you go, ah, damn it. Like, a divorce I could deal with, but you had kids? Shit. Ah, nuts. I want to hear that he's wrestling in, like, GCW or some shit, or, you know, doing something.
I do, dare I say, he's probably making better money and doing and causing less strain and havoc on his body.
You think he's going to have the same life quality selling an Astro van out of the back that he would fucking being in a ring on national television versus, hey there, sir. Oh, hold on, sir.
Bro, he's not going to be on national TV.
Hey there, sir. Hey, sir, what would you like to buy today? Would you like to buy a Ford Fiesta? It's the only one I could step in.
Shit.
Okay, bye.
Wow. You know, I mentioned, and we played the video earlier, that WWE released a video on their social media earlier this week. Well, they weren't the only ones. AEW released a video as well. It's very similar to a previous Simpsons ad campaign.
Simpsons did it.
A previous ad campaign that you may have seen with that other promotion way back in the day.
Mm. Whatever. Hold, please. Whatever.
Wrestlers work. Yeah.
It was cool. He slapped the laptop. They did a shotgun sound effect. It was cute. We've seen this stuff before.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, in any event. Let's close it out with some good eye candy, shall we?
What was that?
It's Tiffy time, bro.
It's titty time?
It's titty time.
Oh, my God. You can even see nips on that.
No, you can't. It's more safe. And then you got Sky Blue, the aforementioned Sky Blue.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, buddy.
I think slippery I like when wet, even... huh? Oh, my God. Damn. Where am I right now?
Yeah, exactly. There you go, Rob.
Oh, geez. Dear Lord God.
There you go.
The only wrestler in the current roster with two gashes.
That you know of.
Oh my God. Well, I'm not talking about Arkansas's pro women's wrestling league where there's fingers, teeth, and full of bullet wounds and C-section scars. And they got to do a fucking, they got to do a shift at fucking Hooters later, you know. No. Jade and her Cargills.
That's right. And speaking of Cargills, it's I'm guessing it was kind of cold in Nikki Bella's hotel room.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Rob, fuck, marry, kill. Harley Cameron, Trish Stratus, Mandy Rose.
Well, Trish Stratus is, you know, she's the oldest of the three, so bye. And then you got to marry someone. You know what? Here's the deal. If I'm going to get the fuck one and marry the other, I'm actually going to marry Mandy Rose because she's bringing in the most I'm going to marry Mandy Rose. She's bringing the most money and bang Harley Cameron because you don't want to marry the crazy one. And Cameron is batshit crazy. So she's going to be insane in bed. She's going to come up with, like, you know, she's going to be wearing, like, doing, like, sock puppet theater while you're banging her.
You're damn right.
You know, so.
You're damn right, man. And, you know, actually, so I'm going to have to say that, yeah, it's going to be marry Trish, fuck Harley Cameron, and kill Mandy Rose. But,
if you marry Trish, she's already got some years on them, so you could cash in on her policy faster.
Now you're thinking. All right, Rob. Speaking of thinking, let's give these folks some final thoughts. What you got going on this week? Where can people see you?
I will be, and this is where I got to promote myself better. I will be doing a show at Hamburger Mary's at 8 o'clock in Las Vegas on Thursday. Yeah. And tomorrow at Ola Abibi at 9:30, we're going to have our weekly spotlight show with the Vegas Four Horsemen of Comedy. And we are celebrating one of our horsemen. Thank you much. Khalil Mack. It will be his birthday tomorrow. So a special shout out to my good friend Khalil Mack.
Happy birthday.
And if you don't know, the Vegas Four Horsemen of Comedy. Khalil Mack with his hard-hitting comedy, Lex Las Vegas with his freestyles and his observations, Mike Stiggs with his comedy stories, and yours truly with the bringing all the impersonations. And so that is what the Four Horsemen of Comedy are. We are the four pillars of comedy, and you get to see us every Wednesday at 9:30. Seats fill up. 10 o'clock, we get the show started.
Hell yeah, man. And the Vegas Four Horsemen of Comedy. You got to love it, man. Go check out at Vegas Trump Guy. Follow Rob on his social media. Keep up to date with everywhere that he is. And buy a damn cameo from this guy. For the love of God.
Now, here's the thing with my cameos. My cameos are $25. But for Halloween, we have repriced them for just $10. So you can get a cameo from Trump. I hear that Trump is offering pardons, or he will give a sexy message to your wife. Whatever you so want, $10 on Cameo until the 31st. Once November hits, you're shit out of luck. $25.
Damn. All right, man. And before I thank everybody, I just have to mention that we did lose a name in the pro wrestling business this week. And unfortunately, Sir Mo did pass. The message that I have on screen right now is from Ricky Morton. Breaks my heart to hear about the passing of my friend Bobby Sir Mo Horn. Bobby was one of the good ones, a man who brought joy, respect, and real passion into professional wrestling from the bright colors and energy of Men on a Mission. You know, Mo, Oscar, Mabel, that WrestleMania rap, man, that shit was timeless. I'm kidding. That was not timeless at all. But it was, I used to love that shit back in the day when I was a kid, and I'm totally dating myself here. But, you know, I'd run around and I'd be singing that song. I was like, what, 8, 10 maybe? Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, dude, I was all about Men on a Mission because of the, you know, the colors and the music, and it just, it felt fun. So, yeah, absolutely, man. Sir Mo was a performer who cared about this business and the people in it. Outside the ring, he was kind, humble, and full of heart. He'd always take the time to lift someone up or share a story that left you laughing. That's who he was, a genuine soul who made the journey better for everyone around him. Yeah, so condolences go out to Sir Mo's family. And, yeah, and on that note, I want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. PP! Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. Ah, Rob, we made it through, bro.
And hopefully we will have our good co-host back next week.
Absolutely.
Good words. We got to speak to Matt Michaels, and he's well, and we will be seeing him soon.
Absolutely. Hopefully everything goes well for Matt Michaels. We're thinking about you, brother. Hopefully everything gets better. And yeah.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt Michaels leading with the swagger dice. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys. Tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.